Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Few things we want to talk about today. John Kerry still mocking our military after all these years. And CNN airing propaganda footage they received from terrorists of a U.S. soldier being shot to death. And an Associated Press AOL poll is out today on the opinions of blacks in America that most blacks are against gay marriage. We'll talk about that. And then, oh, yeah, you know, the people are basically good. The line that liberals want you to buy, that people are basically good. They assume you never read a history book or a newspaper. Well, I want to give an update on the Paul McCartney and his wife Heather divorce battle. And also, there's a battle between a mother and a son in Texas. And the son is an NFL quarterback. And his mother is running. She wants to be a court of appeals judge in Texas. And they can't stand each other. And the son said, "Mom, stop using my picture in your political ads." So we'll talk about that. And then National Right to Life has supported an outright pro-abort in New Jersey. We will talk about that. And what else? Let me start with this. Bob Beaupre was on this station earlier. Bob Beaupre is a Republican in Colorado running for governor. And he stated his pro-life position. And he has a solid pro-life position, but our pro-life organizations have not done a good job teaching our pro-life politicians how to explain their position. So he said, "I am 100% pro-life, except for the life of the mother." And I know what he means, and you may know what he means, but that he's not saying it properly. Okay? It's always wrong to intentionally kill an innocent child. That's always wrong. Now, if the mother's life is at risk, let's say she has preeclampsia, that can easily kill her. Let's say it's an ectopic pregnancy, that will kill her, where the fertilized egg is stuck in the fallopian tube. Well, in these situations, you end the pregnancy by basically delivering the baby. In an ectopic pregnancy, the baby might be old enough to be viable, or he might be old enough to live some life outside of his mother's womb. So you do a C-section, you deliver the baby, and you try to save the mother and the baby. That's what Bob Beaupre means. He's not taught how to explain that by our pro-life organizations, because increasingly they prefer to blur the pro-life issue so that politicians who support killing kids in all kinds of circumstances get lumped in as generally pro-life. Our pro-life organizations don't really like to be very clear any longer. That's why in Colorado, so many dozens of our politicians were surveyed, where do they stand on the pro-life issues? But they weren't asked, would you support killing a baby whose father was the rapist? They weren't asked that. They weren't asked those kinds of questions. So we really don't know. Are they truly pro-life? Or because exceptions are a window to the politician's soul. You find out if they're willing to kill some kids, if they're willing to kill kids, as in kids whose father was a criminal, then they're not really pro-life. They're just telling you that so they will get your vote. And then when they get in office, chances are they already have compromised so much in their heart that they'll do pretty much nothing. So we don't know really where so many of our, quote, pro-life politicians stand. But Bob Beaupre, his website, points out he is 100% pro-life, and he is. Now, let me tell you the difference between him and Hillary Clinton. Remember when Brian Rohrbaugh spoke to Bill and Hillary Clinton right after Columbine? We've told this story on the air a few times. And Brian Rohrbaugh said to the president, Bill Clinton, he said, "Mr. Clinton, when you vetoed the partial birth abortion ban, you became responsible for murder far more violent than what happened to our children at Columbine." And that was true. Now, the Clintons, Bill and Hillary Clinton, and your typical feminist, they support the right to kill the baby. And so partial birth abortion is an example. And they'll say, well, there's no exception for the life of the mother. If the mother is having a problem with her pregnancy so that the baby needs to be delivered, you don't stop halfway to kill the baby. You deliver the baby and you love the baby and the mother. Hillary Clinton's position is you stop halfway, you kill the baby. That's not Bob Beaupre's position. So Bob Beaupre is pro-life. I don't know how hard he'll work to save the lives of children if he were elected, but he's pro-life, and Bill Ritter is a pro-abort. Okay, now on to John Kerry. The ever-despicable John Kerry is still busy mocking our military. During Vietnam, remember how he lied, saying that our American soldiers routinely committed atrocities? That was a lie. He said he saw it, he witnessed it, and it was a lie. And that lie cost him the presidency. He could have been, probably would have been elected president, except for the Swift Boat ads that came out in the last election and pointing out his lies and the slander he brought against his fellow soldiers. Okay, so now he has mocked our men in military again, our men and women in military, saying that those who can't succeed in their education, they will do well in America, they'll do okay, he said, but those who don't do well in school end up in the U.S. military. That's pretty despicable, huh? They end up in Iraq. So thereby, he mocked our special forces, our mechanized divisions, our Marines, our Air Force, our Army, not to mention my own son and daughter-in-law, my son, Josiah, my daughter-in-law, Jana, she's a Russian Jew from Moscow, they have both signed up for the Army National Guard. That's pretty risky. You know, they could end up in Iraq. And talking to them, I said, some friend said, whoa, shouldn't you try to talk them out of it? They might have to go to Iraq. And I said to Josiah, I said, son, you know that we, our family, strongly supports this war against terror. And Iraq was supporting terror. So this is a just war. And the terrorists are trying to get control of Iraq. And so I advocate that we fight this war to our best ability and win it. And so it would be hypocritical of me to say to you, son, don't sign up because you might have to go to Iraq. Because our neighbor's kids go to Iraq. And he had the desire, and I told him he'd have my blessing. He would, and his wife, Shauna, and they do. All right. So at any rate, John Kerry is mocking all of our men and women in uniform. Okay, that's typical John Kerry, right? Now, this is after CNN has repeatedly aired propaganda footage that they received from terrorists of a U.S. soldier being shot to death. Yeah, imagine that, CNN repeatedly airing the footage which the terrorists hope will help them defeat America. That's what they hope. They want Americans to become discouraged and to give over Iraq to the terrorists, to the jihadists, the insurgency and the terrorists. So as a result of CNN doing that, the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, he's asked the Pentagon to kick out any CNN reporters embedded with our troops. That would be great. That would be so good. Because this is a war. And our side is not very good at fighting it like a war. We fight it a little bit like a war. We should really fight it like a war. But we fight it a little bit like a war. So anyway, of course we should kick out CNN reporters and embed it with our troops. And Dick Cheney's wife gave Wolf Blitzer a difficult time this past weekend. He supposedly wanted her on to talk about her children's book. And that was, of course, a scam, the vice president's wife. And he wanted her on to mock her husband and George W. Bush and their efforts in Iraq. And she pretty much turned the guns on CNN and accused them of being despicable for airing this terrorist propaganda footage. And she asked him, who do you want to win? Do you want America to win in Iraq? And I think she asked it a few times. I only saw news clips of this. I didn't see it taking place in its entirety. But I think she had to ask him a few times before he would answer that, well, sure, we're Americans. We want America to win. But that's hard to believe. If we were to win decisively in the next week, then the Republicans would probably win massive landslide reelections, because Iraq is probably the number one thing pulling down the Republican vote. So that's a problem with democracy. If you enjoy this program, you like what we teach from the Bible, you got to think through this, because this is crucial. Democracy is bad. It's humanist. A representative Republican form of government is bad. It's humanist. When majority rules, or when majority has influence over the government and over the law, the majority will decriminalize the wicked things they want to do, like stealing and adultery and murder. And that's what happens in democracies all over the world. Not only that, but to fight a war is tough. To fight a war is tough. And in a democracy, you will have two or more political parties. In a party that gets into a just war, if that is a difficult war, the other side will do everything they can to undermine the war, to make their political opponents look bad so they could win in the next election cycle. And that's what's happening right now. And I despise the Republicans for their compromise on do not murder and their pro-homosexual positions and countless other immoral ideas that Republicans think are just wonderful. But we should acknowledge that the Democrats are way more likely to commit virtual treason against our country in order to win an election than are the Republicans. The Republicans will stand behind the country in a war, even if it's a Democrat in office. The Democrats, on the other hand, remember for years, how many years, decades, they would not use an American flag in their Democratic National Convention. They wouldn't have an American flag in their convention. That's how much their party hates this country. So this country is pretty messed up. If you want to know how much, you just listen to this show. But you should love your country. Just like kids love their school, you love your family, you love your country. And if it's messed up, you say how it's messed up and you try to fix it. If your dad is an alcoholic, you don't pretend he's a perfect dad. You love him, you love your family, and you admit what's wrong with it and you try to fix it. So that's CNN, right? And speaking of O'Reilly O'Reilly, oh, wait a minute. I was talking about CNN. O'Reilly's on Fox News. Yeah, but O'Reilly, regarding the Iraq war, he has unwittingly undermined our war effort by spending the last 2 years whining, saying things like, the American people are not going to stand for this. The American people are not going to continue supporting this war unless we see progress. War is a progress business. If there's no progress, O'Reilly, stop whining. Good grief, stop whining. Or else what? O'Reilly has acknowledged on his program that if America were to fail and the terrorists were to win control of Iraq, it would be a nightmare beyond what we could foresee. It would be a global catastrophe, all right, to give jihadists that kind of victory and momentum and control of the oil revenues of Iraq, and it would be a living hell for the people in Iraq. It'd be worse for them. It'd be a nightmare for us. Okay, so O'Reilly has continued for 2 years to whine about the war. And why would he do that? I mean, during World War II, imagine that kind of whining. It would have been more obviously destructive, even traitorous, to do that on the news, the evening news. You know, it's like a kid on a long road trip whining. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Shut up, O'Reilly. Shut up. What's the alternative? The alternative is to let the terrorist win. So why does O'Reilly do that? Why does he do it? What he should have done instead for the last 2 years is he should have been saying, it doesn't matter how hard it is, it doesn't matter how difficult, it doesn't matter how long, you can't let the jihadist win. That's what he should have said. When you're a leader, you're a spokesman, and things are tough, you got to be tougher. Why has he been whining? He believes absolutely we have to win the war. I'll tell you, I'll psychoanalyze Bill O'Reilly. I'll tell you why O'Reilly has been whining. He thinks, in his megalomania world, that if he says this on his program, the White House, the Bush administration will hear it, and they'll say to one another in the Oval Office, they'll say, you know, Bill O'Reilly is upset that we're not winning the war. We really better do something to win the war. That's what he thinks. He thinks by him whining, they're going to take the war more seriously and actually try to win it. And that's how stupid O'Reilly is on occasion, on most occasions. Right? Pro-abort, pro-homosexual, pro-evolution, anti-death penalty, liberal. O'Reilly. Okay. Next topic. Associated Press, AOL, they have a poll out today about blacks, that most blacks oppose gay marriage. Two-thirds of all blacks and two-thirds of black likely voters oppose allowing homosexuals and lesbians to marry legally. Now, of course, that's better than if it were the other way around. So that's better. But it's really bad as compared to 40 years ago, when closer to 100% would be against homosexuality of any kind, especially homosexual marriage. They would be bewildered by that concept. 100% of blacks, whites, Hispanics, Asians were against homosexuality itself. Never mind the debates that obscure the real issue, debates over homosexual dental care and the like that we're mired in today. All right, so liberals say people are basically good. All right? People are basically good. Well, Christians, reading the Bible, we learn and we observe and we see reinforced in the newspaper and at the courthouse, the family court, and in the history books and encyclopedias, that people are basically sinners. For a public school teacher listening right now, that means bad. Sin, I know that's not a word you may be familiar with, that's something evil, something in rebellion against God. People are basically sinners. They lie, cheat, steal, fornicate, murder, etc., and they tolerate others who do, and they even brag about others who do. You know, if somebody's a murderer, but they like how they are as an actor or a football player, and when he happened to murder his wife, well then, come on, cut him a break. He's a good football player. He's in the Hall of Fame. Well, OJ might be in the Hall of Fame, but we purchased his Hall of Fame induction award, and we destroyed it on the steps of the L.A. courthouse. So anyway, but people think, well, so what if he murdered his wife? Come on. Do you really think he did that? He was such a good football player. He's such a good musician. Come on, he couldn't be beating his wife. Oh, yeah, that's another topic. Well, I use the example of Paul McCartney and his wife Heather, and it's interesting how people online at theologyonline.com, that's where our website, kgov.com, kgov.com, it points to theologyonline.com because that's where the Bob Inert Live forum is. People put their comments in as to what they think about the show. And so many people were so mad that I did that story about Heather saying that Paul McCartney committed assaults against her, domestic violence, verbal cruelty, and they make this knee-jerk defense of Paul because they like his music, as though we all know that stars are incapable of cruelty, right? Stars even murder their wives, let alone domestic violence and verbal cruelty. But the point I made at the time was, it doesn't matter which one, which spouse is telling the truth. Doesn't matter. If Heather is lying, then this story still puts another log on the fire. The burning truth that people are basically sinful. And if she's telling the truth, well, then a hero of the Western world, allegedly one of the Beatles, right? Paul McCartney is allegedly one of the Beatles. And he has perhaps committed violent assaults against his wife. And I won't repeat what they were. But Heather has reportedly has audio and video recorded evidence of the alleged Beatles' verbal and physical attacks on her. And that could be true, you know. Today it's so easy to record something. If she could see that a fight is coming on, she just presses record on the tiny family camcorder sitting on a bookcase, and it can document the next 2 hours. And if he's drunk and high on drugs, which her documents in court, divorce court, claim he's constantly, even though he promised before their marriage that he was sobering up, that he's constantly getting drunk and high on drugs, if that's the case, she could probably stick the camera right in his face and he wouldn't care. So who knows? We don't know yet, but it makes the point either way. And regarding the people being basically sinful, you don't have to go to stars or to communists or to the people who consume pornography. All you have to do is go to a current judicial election in Texas. It's a battle between a mom who wants to be a judge on the Texas Third Circuit Court of Appeals and her son, a famous NFL quarterback who doesn't want his own mother to use his picture in her campaign ads, which she has been doing. So aside from what this shows us about people being basically sinful, I mean, husband and wife can't even get together. Mother and son can't even get along. How do nations get along? How does that happen? Just hang out at a church and see how people backbite each other. So people are basically sinful. But aside from what this Texas showdown tells us about people being sinful, think about what it tells us about judges. That's funny. And about the voting public. Because here's the story, Brees versus Brees. An NFL player, Drew Brees, tells his mother to stop using his image in political ads. So the mom, Myna Brees, says she has taped brand new commercials and she's not going to use her son's picture any longer. Okay. Well, Drew Brees, he's an NFL quarterback for who? The San Diego Chargers? I think it says somewhere in this article. So he's an NFL quarterback, and he said for the last 6 years, his relationship with his mother has been non-existent because it's just gone bad. And he said yesterday, I think the major point here is that my mother is using me in a campaign, and I've made it known many times I don't want to be involved. So she has this TV commercial saying, my father was in football, and my brother was in football, and my son's in football, so vote for me. Well, what does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with anything? Well, it could help, because people like sports, you know? And if a politician is related to a sports player, or maybe a movie star, or a wrestling, professional wrestling mental case, maybe he could get elected to governor of a state. That's how fickle the electorate is. So that's what it tells us about that. And now let me close with this. In National Right to Life, we've often told you how National Right to Life is no longer primarily pro-life. They're pro-Republican. It's the NRLC, the National Republican Life Committee. That's what they are. They're pro-Republican. So in New Jersey, the New Jersey Right to Life chapter, the state chapter, they have refused to support the pro-abortion Republican candidate for governor, Tom Keene. I remember his father, liberal way back, and Tom Keene is liberal, and he's pro-abortion. And I grew up in New Jersey. So National Rights of Life has stepped in, and they are in New Jersey campaigning for a pro-abortion Republican. Why is that? And this, they did a mailing that cost $13,000, and surely there are pro-lifers somewhere they could have helped get elected with $13,000. But they are more interested in Republican Party politics than they are in leaders who say it is murder to kill an innocent child. And as a result, many of our pro-life judges believe that abortion is okay as long as you legalize it according to our process. Many of our leaders believe that. And so after National Right to Life compromising for so many years now, that has filtered down into so many other pro-life organizations, and the pro-life community is broken, and it needs to be repaired. Well, let's hope that can happen. Certainly here at Bob Newhart Live, we'll be fighting to do just that. By the way, if you appreciate this show, we can really use your help. We can really use your support. We struggle quite often. And the past few weeks, we've moved into a new facility, the BEL cabin in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. And that move has really put a strain on us. So if you could help, call us 800-8-NYART or go to kgov.com. We need your help. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a great school. Maranatha.